CRJ225, this is your week 8 podcast as we move on to criminal sexual assault, criminal sexual abuse, etc., false imprisonment, and kidnapping. Illinois does not use the term rape in sex crimes. We haven't for a long period of time. What other people may consider rape, our state lawmakers termed criminal sexual assault. The intent of the legislature in discarding the term rape was to lessen the stigma attached to the crime and hopefully encourage more victims to come forward and pursue the offender in court. Criminal sexual assault is found in the Illinois Criminal Code at 720 ILCS 5/11-1.20. The offense is categorized as a Class 1 felony with the potential of 4 to 15 years in prison. This charge is a non-probationable felony. This means the judge is not permitted under the law to sentence the offender to probation once convicted. So a prison sentence is mandatory. Consequently, the minimum penalty for criminal sexual assault is 4 years in prison. Criminal sexual assault is committed when an individual commits a penetrative sexual act against another without their consent or ability to give consent. This includes sexual acts against victims who are underage, mentally disabled, or otherwise incapable of giving consent, in addition to sexual assault through use of threat or force. Refer back to our recently completed review of assault and battery. When an adult has sex with a minor, it's commonly referred to as statutory rape. It is considered sexual assault because the minor cannot legally give consent. Sexual assault cases frequently involve incidents that occur between two people in private, and this means, as you probably are aware, there are conflicting narratives about the acts, the criminal acts, and those conflicting narratives can complicate the prosecution. However, forensic science, increased and evolving police training, and the development of sex crimes units, specially trained officers in prosecution to deal with sex crimes, think Law and Order, SVU, has changed this to some extent. But sexual assault and related crimes continue to present a unique problem for police, prosecutors, and defendants, and of course, a not so easy and very troubling situation for the victims of these offenses. Violation of Illinois sexual assault laws could result in 4 years to life in prison upon conviction, depending on the circumstances and whether there were any prior rape convictions, sexual assault convictions, sorry. The basic provisions of our laws there's a use of force or threat of force. It results in sexual penetration under the use of force or threat of force. They know the victim lacks capacity to give consent, or it's a family member of the victim and the victim is under 18 years old, or the victim is between the ages of 13 and 18, and the offender is 17 years of age or older and holds a position of authority or trust over the victim. A first conviction is a class 1 felony, meaning 4 to 15 years in prison. A second conviction is a class X felony, meaning 30 to 60 years in prison. Aggravated criminal sexual assault that we'll talk about in a second is also a class X felony. Some defenses, or the only defense, I guess, is consent. If force or use of force is an element, and then actual innocence or sometimes insanity. So aggravated criminal sexual assault. As with the other crimes we've discussed recently, aggravating factors can lead to heightened sentencing, and a conviction for aggravated criminal sexual assault is available, and the offense is found at 720 ILCS 5/11-1.30. A second or subsequent offense of aggravated criminal sexual assault is a Class X felony, leaving the offender to be sentenced to natural life in prison without the possibility of parole. The aggravating factors, which should be familiar at this point in time: commission of a crime with a dangerous weapon, infliction of bodily harm, threatening the life of the victim or another person, commission of another felony. The victim was 60 years or older. The victim was physically handicapped. The victim or the defendant drugged the victim by delivering a controlled substance. The defendant charged or discharged a firearm during the commission of the offense. The defendant discharged a firearm during the offense and caused great bodily harm or death to another person. Those are all probably pretty familiar by this point. A person may be guilty of aggravated criminal sexual assault under a different factual scenario as well. Under the following circumstances, a defendant is guilty of aggravated criminal sexual assault due to the difference in age or status of the victim. And remember, age and status, those are usually our aggravating factors. So sexual penetration where the victim was 8 years or younger and the accused was 16 years old or younger. Sexual penetration where the victim was between 9 and 12 years old, if force or threat of force was used. And then where the victim was severely or profoundly mentally disabled, regardless of the age of the accused. We also have predatory criminal sexual assault. And Illinois provides that a person commits predatory criminal sexual assault, and that's a Class X felony with no possibility of probation. That charge is found at 720 ILCS 5/11-1.40. It provides that the offender must be sentenced to 6 to 30 years if they use a firearm in the commission of the offense. It's extended as far as the sentence, and they can also be sentenced to natural life. A second offense of predatory criminal sexual assault has a mandatory life sentence. Predatory criminal sexual assault consists of the following elements: sexual penetration where the accused was 17 or older and the victim was 12 or younger. Sexual penetration where the victim was 12 years of age or younger and the accused was 17 or older and carried a firearm, discharged a firearm, or caused great bodily harm to the victim that resulted in permanent disability or a life-threatening injury. Or sexual penetration where the victim was 12 years or younger and the accused was 17 years or older and delivered a controlled substance to the victim. crime of predatory criminal sexual assault also occurs where the sexual penetration and the or where there was sexual penetration and the accused was 17 years of age or older and the victim was 12 years or younger, and in addition, the defendant carried a firearm, discharged a firearm, or caused great bodily harm to the victim that resulted in permanent disability or life-threatening injury, or as I said, used a controlled substance or delivered a controlled substance to the victim. Now let's talk about criminal sexual abuse. Criminal sexual abuse is the only Class A misdemeanor sex crime in Illinois, and criminal sexual abuse could be a felony, depending on the circumstances. Even where the offender is found guilty of a misdemeanor, they will still be required to register as a sex offender. This offense is established in the criminal code at 720 ILCS 5/11-1.50. The statute provides that the person is guilty of a Class 4 felony where they commit sexual conduct in conjunction with one of the following: a force or threat of force, or the victim was unable to understand the nature of the act or to give consent. The Class 4 felony range, you may remember, is between 1 and 3 years in the Department of Corrections, and this offense is probationable. A second subsequent offense of criminal sexual abuse under the scenarios described previously is a Class 2 felony with a potential incarceration of 3 to 7 years, and it is also probationable. A person is guilty of the misdemeanor offense of criminal sexual abuse if they commit sexual conduct or penetration under any of the following circumstances: the victim was aged 9 through 16 and the accused was 17 years of age, or the victim was aged 13 through 16 and the accused was 17 years of age or older, but less than 5 years older than the victim. The maximum penalty for the misdemeanor offense in Illinois is up to 1 year in jail, though that can be subject to a 50% reduction for good behavior. It's a defense to criminal sexual abuse that the offender reasonably believed that the victim was at least 17 years old. There has to be factors that go to that reasonable belief. Aggravated criminal sexual abuse is found at 720 ILCS 5/11-1.60. Aggravated criminal sexual abuse is a Class 2 felony, punishable by 3 to 7 years in the Department of Corrections. The statute provides that the person is guilty of aggravated criminal sexual abuse if they commit criminal sexual abuse and any of the following are present: the defendant used a dangerous weapon, the defendant caused bodily harm, the victim was 60 years or older, the victim was physically handicapped, the defendant threatened the life of the victim or another person, the defendant committed a felony, another felony at the same time, or the defendant drugged the victim with any controlled substance. And then there's also all of the age spectrum that we've discussed previously. That's outlined in the document I provided, and you can go and read that at your leisure. And sometimes it's literally like taking the age of your victim and the age of your offender and using that table of the statute to go and figure out where it lands, to double check where it lands. In addition to those, a person is guilty of aggravated criminal sexual abuse under one last scenario, where they commit an act of sexual penetration with the victim who is age 13 through 17 and the offender is 5 years older than the victim. Now compare that to the misdemeanor offense of criminal sexual abuse in which it would be a misdemeanor if the defendant was less than 5 years. It's an affirmative defense to the crime of aggravated criminal sexual abuse where the defendant reasonably believed that the victim was 17 years old. There's no statute of limitations in Illinois any longer on these charges, including the regular and aggravated versions of criminal sexual assault and criminal sexual abuse. Moving on to false imprisonment. We don't call the criminal version of false imprisonment. We call it unlawful restraint. False imprisonment's a civil matter subject to a claim for damages. And you may remember me mentioning that most crimes, assault, battery, etc., you can bring a civil case. If you could get Jay Jansen or whatever personal injury lawyer to go and pursue that for you, they're all subject to intentional torts that would allow you to seek monetary or money damages for the commission of that act. The reason you don't see that is because most people who commit those acts don't have money. So false imprisonment is a civil matter. It's most of the time comes up as part of a divorce type action in civil court. It's different than what we consider unlawful restraint, which is a crime. Again, the big issue there is a lack of the ability to get money from somebody who's going to commit one of those acts. I'll give you a for instance. I used to represent two of the largest police unions in the area when I was in private practice, and for a short time after I came to ICC to teach. I had one of our guys working for the Peoria County Sheriff's Office who was out in a remote area, responded to a domestic call. When he got there, the defendant and his father were trying to get the defendant's wife, visibly battered wife, into a vehicle and take off. And the officer, being alone, tried to stop them from taking off. And the father and the defendant began to pummel, batter the police officer. And you know that that's aggravated battery because of his status. And a whole thing ensued where, you know, they had a little battle and the sheriff's deputy handled himself the best he could. They tried to take his weapon. Eventually, they did get the wife into a truck and then tried to run the deputy over, sending him into a ditch. He had a pretty significant knee injury as a result of this, in addition to his other injuries. Of course, these people were charged with aggravated battery. In fact, they pled to that aggravated battery charge. Most people who are going to do those types of things do not have the resources to pay damages. Now, if they have restitution and that's ordered, well, then they have to pay that as part of their criminal case. But I'm talking about pain and suffering in addition to the medical bills and any other things that you might expect in a civil case that you see the people advertising on TV, lawyers that is, saying they can represent you. In our case, we discovered that these people were about to come into some land that might be valuable for development. And so we did file a civil case. And the fact that they pled guilty to aggravated battery meant that all we had to do was go in and use that plea of guilty, which was under oath. That's an admission. The elements of battery in civil court are the same as the elements in for battery in criminal court. And so we moved on to damages, and my client was able to get some money out of that. But that's a rare, rare occasion. Doesn't happen, okay? So Illinois has a crime of unlawful restraint found at 720 ILCS 5/10-3. And a person commits unlawful restraint when he or she knowingly and without legal authority detains another person. The crime can be broken down into the following elements for a little better understanding. First, there's a detention. Unlawful restraint involves some sort of intentional detention. You cannot commit the crime of unlawful restraint by accident. You must intend your actions to confine someone. However, there is a requirement that the victim be physically placed in some sort of holding area, secure building, or cell. Rather, I should say there's no requirement. Let me back that up. There is no requirement that the victim be physically placed in a holding area, secure building, or cell of some sort. So picture that in your mind, because that's what we typically think when somebody is detained. Rather, it's enough that the victim believes they are restrained from leaving an area or place where the detention occurs. Now, if you've taken my 227 class, Administration of Justice, then you know from our in-depth discussions of stop, frisk, arrest, similar circumstances, right? If you haven't taken that course, it's available next summer, and you should, because it will serve you in your career to avoid bad things happening. That commercial said, though, just know that there's no requirement that there be some sort of area, holding cell, secure building, anything like that. It can also result from verbal orders, lies, or actual physical restraint. And you can probably guess that violence or the threat of violence is often involved. So it has to be a detention. It has to be an unlawful detention. Those with legal authority to detain another person cannot be convicted of unlawful restraint. But the court is the ultimate decider as to whether or not there was legal authority to detain. The next element, time. There's no minimum time requirement that a person must be confined. Accordingly, even momentary confinement could be sufficient to form the basis for a conviction of unlawful restraint, although that's probably pretty unlikely from a practical perspective, but it could. Regarding consent, if the victim consents to the confinement, you cannot unlawfully confine them. For instance, a mall security officer asks someone to follow them to the security area. That's not unlawful restraint if the person accompanies them voluntarily. And then as far as escape, the confinement of the victim must be complete, meaning that the victim must not be able to leave. For instance, a person who can leave a confined area by opening the door or walking away is not confined. But the victim must be aware of the reasonable manner within which he or she can escape, and the victim must be capable of acting on that means of escape. If the victim believes that violence will result if he or she attempts to leave, that's enough to make the confinement complete, even if there was some sort of easy escape route physically. Unlawful restraint is a Class 4 felony punishable by 1 to 3 years in prison and up to $25,000 fine. The defendant will also have a 1-year mandatory supervised release, formerly known as parole, after prison, and then up to 30 months of probation or conditional discharge. Aggravated unlawful restraint is a Class 3 felony punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison and up to $25,000 fine. Sex offender registration can be required in certain circumstances, but see the statute and review the aggravating factors. These should be familiar with you to some degree at this point in time, but go ahead and review those as well. Now, kidnapping. Kidnapping under Illinois law exists if someone knowingly confines another person against their will and moves that person by force or threat of force from one place to another. So you knowingly confine another person against their will, they can't be a willing participant, and you move that person by force or the threat of force from one place to another. Kidnapping may not always happen through some sort of physical force. A person can be kidnapped through fraud, deceit, or enticement, as long as the perpetrator intended to secretly confine them against their will. There's various types of kidnapping that we'll see in society. Parental kidnapping, you know, the Amber Alerts. Someone doesn't have the legal authority or full custody of their child by court order, and they go against that court order and remove the child or take the child or kidnap the child. Acquaintance kidnapping, stranger kidnapping, sexual predator kidnapping, human trafficking, bride kidnapping, and then what we think of as a traditional kidnapping for extortion or some sort of ransom. Kidnapping and aggravated kidnapping are found at 720 ILCS 5/10-1 and 10-2. For kidnapping, a person knowingly and secretly confines a victim against his or her will by using force or threat of immediate force and moves that person from one place to another, or uses deceit, fraud, or enticement to persuade another to go from one place to another with intent to secretly confine that other person against his or her will. So you don't take them by force necessarily, but by deceit or fraud or enticement, but then confine them after they get them to move from one place to another. Aggravated kidnapping is the same as what I just stated, but it could include any of the following. Holding the victim for ransom makes it aggravating. The victim was under 13 years of age or was severely mentally disabled makes it aggravating. Concealing your identity to commit the kidnapping makes it aggravating, as does someone being armed with a dangerous weapon, the victim suffering great bodily harm, or another felony was committed during the course of the kidnapping. Again, kidnapping is a Class 2 felony, aggravated kidnapping a Class X felony. So punishment for kidnapping, 3 to 7 years. Department of Corrections for aggravated, it's 6 to 30 years in the Department of Corrections, plus an additional 15 to 25 years depending on the gravity of the crime. A second aggravated kidnapping conviction carries a life imprisonment sentence and then up to $25,000 in restitution and fines. There's a 3-year statute of limitations for kidnapping and aggravated kidnapping. So this concludes our podcast for these offenses as we head to or finish up the halfway point of the semester. We're halfway there, kids. Typically in a 16-week semester, the last 8 weeks is a downhill slide. You know what to expect at this point. You're adept at breaking down statutes, at reading the elements of the crime, at finding examples, at discussing the examples. So what I'm going to implore you to do at this point at the midterm, Keep up your energy. Keep up your focus. Put in the work for the next 8 weeks. You will not regret putting in the work. Everything you do here out will pay off, just like everything you've done up until this point has and will continue to pay out in both your future classes and, more importantly, into your careers. This is the Week 8 podcast for criminal law. You know where to find me if you need me. Stay well.